This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
Yo.
Yo, I'm Matthew.
I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we've really got, like, a bro-y vibe going.
God.
And yet,
I think it's because I know that, so our next episode, next week, is going to be Hard Seltzer.
Hard Seltzer.
We're recording it after this episode.
Which is tahini.
Uh-huh. Anyway, so I'm feeling super, super ready to take my tahini and hang out at the frat house.
Yeah, no, I mean, tahini's the brand name. I call it hard sesame.
Nice one, Matthew.
Okay.
Okay.
So
this is our tahini episode.
Yes, and I'm a little nervous about this one because...
Wait a minute. Did we do... I'm Molly. This is Spilled Milk, the show we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any?
Possibly not. Should we do that? Okay, we'll say the thing you just said constitutes the opening of the show.
You didn't say your name.
I'm Matthew.
Okay, great. Okay.
Producer Abby's going to be mad.
She's going to hate us. Matthew, take me down your old tahini memory lane.
So I, as a kid, knew tahini only as a component in the sauce served on falafel or like a shish kebab or kofta sandwich.
Yeah. Okay.
Souvlaki. That's the word I'm looking for.
Souvlaki. Yes.
Although I guess like souvlaki,
well, souvlaki
is Greek
is...
and that's more likely to be like a tzatziki than a tahini.
Yes, I think of that as more like yogurt based.
Right.
Yeah. I think that, you know, so my dad was always fine. Yeah, my dad discovered all things, as we know.
Yes.
He invented Altoids.
Right. Whoever's keeping the whiteboard.
He was an endive man.
Right.
What else
there
did
was
he do?
There was another thing recently.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was always finding, like, you know, the interesting new...
Are you,
like,
going to talk about Mediterranean imports?
He was always finding... Oh, my God. I hadn't even thought of it until now. But anyway, he was always finding the new, like, interesting specialty grocer in town. Serving,
was he also always serving, finding, like, the good in everyone?
Not so much. No.
Yeah, me neither.
My dad... So... I feel like this might be disgracing my dad's memory, but I need to talk about it.
Okay.
So my dad passed away in late 2002. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this was a long time ago, but my dad was, as of the time he died, skeptical of climate change.
Oh, that was a long time
ago.
It was
a long time ago.
And
I want to give him some grace around this. But God, I also just really want to believe that were he alive today, he would be.
I think so.
I mean, he was a science man.
Give him some credit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so my dad was always aware of, like, what the newest, like, food market was opening. You know, whether there was, like, a new Chinese grocer or when Mediterranean imports came along.
Oh, my God, Molly. They're opening an H Mart, like, blocks from my house.
Really?
Yes.
Where?
At Capitol Hill Station.
Oh, my gosh, Matthew, this is really exciting.
This is big.
This is big. Maybe we'll have to do a field trip there.
Yes.
Show field trip. Okay. Anyway, so I think that my first exposure to tahini was through something that my dad brought home. And maybe it was even through hummus. I'm pretty sure I had hummus for the first time with my dad. Maybe the first hummus I ever had was from Mediterranean imports. I don't know. That seems, it seems like I would have had hummus
before. Let's check the historical record.
But anyway,
hummus as a kid because I was terrified of it.
As I hope we all know, tahini is usually one of the base ingredients of hummus.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so... I think that's kind of my memory lane of tahini.
Yeah, so I think like my memory lane like is even sparser than that, and I know this is like an important food, and it's something that I rarely cook with or use at home, and so I feel like I'm stepping into like outside of my usual territory here and might say something dumb.
Yeah, we usually say something dumb,
that's
though.
True.
So I think that our listeners are ready to hopefully receive this with grace.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And hopefully they will also...
Like that time we said we weren't so sure about climate change.
Matthew, don't even...
And that episode where I said 9/11 was an inside job.
How about the episode where I brought up all the super unfun things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that taco salad, I think.
Taco salad, yeah. Anyway, okay, but hold on.
But it turns out when you put all of those super unfun things together into one episode, like you're tossing a salad,
yes,
it becomes fun.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
So tahini is a paste made from roasted hulled sesame seeds.
Okay.
That much I can tell you for sure.
Hulled means like they've had like sort of the outer shell removed.
Yeah. So we should say like this episode is a sequel to two other episodes. We did a sesame episode, mm-hmm. and we talked a lot about hulled versus unhulled sesame seeds, but we should recap that because we did that episode 211 weeks ago.
I don't remember talking about it.
I know all of our listeners remember it like it was yesterday. Okay, so the sesame seed, you can tell when it's got the hull on because it has kind of like a stripe down one side.
Let me grab a sesame seed. That closely at a sesame seed. I'm sorry, I just made a really loud clicking sound in the microphone. I think it's indicative of the sound of my brain cracking open. Huh. Okay, so these are unhulled.
Right. I don't have any with the hulls off. But if you look.
Oh, it does have like, it's like got a little seam.
Yep. And so sesame seeds with hulls are a little crunchier and a little more bitter.
Ah.
And so that is the difference between tahini, which is a paste made from roasted hulled sesame seeds, mm-hmm. and like a Chinese sesame paste, which is made from roasted unhulled sesame seeds.
So you're going to get not only a different texture, but also a slightly different flavor.
Yeah. And actually the texture is the same because it both is like they grind them very finely.
Okay.
Until it makes a smooth paste. But the flavor is different, but not so different that you can't substitute one for the other in a recipe.
Fair enough. Okay.
I'm just going to keep eating these sesame seeds
that I put on
my agenda.
Tell us more about tahini, like how this came to be. I feel like there are, you know, different nuts and seeds have over the course of human history. People have figured out that they can be ground up.
Oh, but, yeah. Anything. People will grind anything.
This stuff is old, though,
yeah.
Right?
Like, this was like the original grinder. Okay, so sesame has been eaten for thousands of years. Like, it's one of those things we find, like, fossilized in early human settlements.
In the Fertile Crescent?
Yeah, for sure. Like, okay. That crescent. Have you seen that crescent?
Very
so fertile.
Yeah.
We know that tahini, or like some kind of sesame paste, goes back to at least the 13th century because it was mentioned in an anonymously written Arabic cookbook.
Wow. I'm sure it's way older than that.
Yeah.
Just not maybe written down.
Right. Like, I mean, because people had mortars and pestles going way back. And like we said, people will grind anything.
Also, people had rocks and smaller rocks.
Yeah, yeah.
To use to beat on the bigger rocks.
But that was for laundry.
Anyway, so how is tahini made? Because if I just put a bunch of roasted hulled sesame seeds in my food processor, I wouldn't get something like commercial tahini, would I?
Essentially, I mean, it would be hard to grind it that smooth.
Okay.
So it's probably commercially like made in some sort of, I don't know, like what kind of grinder do you use in a factory to make things really smooth? I think you have more factory experience than
smooth,
I do.
A smooth grinder,
like a smoothie maker.
Yeah, like a smooth operator.
Like, yeah, some sort of smooth operator. But I'm thinking like something where it's like not extruded, but like it's not the sort of thing where like where just a whirring blade grinds it.
A burr.
Maybe a burr grinder, where it has to be like forced through.
Maybe ground between two plates.
Yeah, and then like forced through a really thin screen.
Like a Tammy.
Yeah, like a Tammy.
But like thinner.
Yeah.
I mean, finer.
We should get Tammy on the phone to explain this. Right. So essentially, I mean, there's no other ingredients in tahini.
I told you that I once had a hairdresser named Tammy who changed her name, right?
You've told me a lot of things.
She changed her name to Giovanna.
Oh, wow.
Which is such a departure from Tammy. I hardly even have words for what that leap is.
I like both those names a lot.
Right?
Yeah. Did her personality change along with the name?
I don't know. I kind of stopped going to her around the same time.
Was it because of the name change? No, that seems unfair.
That would be very unfair. Unrelated. Although I do have to say that there was something about the drama of going from like, going from a very like, I think of as like an American name, like mm-hmm. Tom, like Tammy, to this Italian Giovanna.
Right.
It was like a high drama shift. And I wasn't sure if I could.
Was it like G-I-O?
Yeah.
Okay.
Giovanna.
So I feel like that's a name that can be pronounced in two very different ways.
Giovanna?
Right. Well, but not even just pronunciation, but like sort of the weight you give to it. Like
Giovanna.
You know, right. This is my hairdresser, Giovanna. Or this is Giovanna, my hairdresser. Like those are two different people.
Yeah. Tammy and Giovanna are two different people.
Yes, but even after Tammy became Giovanna, like there's more than one Giovanna in that Giovanna, I think. Do you have her number?
I wish I had kept going to her so that I could have gotten to the bottom of this. I mean, the truth is she gave a very expensive haircut. And so
but sometimes that's just what you need.
I just sort of had to like back out the door at a certain point.
When she changed her name to Giovanna, did the prices go way up? Because that sounds a lot fancier.
Right. It does. I mean, it really does.
Like I have two things to tell you while I sit down in the chair, like snip, 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 snip. Starting next week, I'm changing my name to Giovanna. And the price of a cut is going up 40%.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was very expensive.
And worth every penny, I think.
I mean,
not having been there.
No comment.
Okay.
She was a very good hairdresser. If she's out there, I don't want anyone to think I'm slandering her. She was a very good hairdresser. I just am cheap.
Speaking of getting to the bottom of things, so the sesame seeds for making tahini, they're soaked in water to loosen the hulls, and then they're lightly crushed and placed in salt water, and that makes the hulls sink and the seeds float, and you gather the seeds off the top, you toast them, you grind them. It's a very, like, old school. There's probably some sort of more industrial way of hulling sesame these days, but mm-hmm. this is like the old school method. Going back to when your dad discovered it.
This is interesting. The hulls sink and the seeds float. I would have thought it would be the other way around.
I kind of thought it would too.
Like I'm picturing, like what a chickpea skin looks like when
when you
peel it off. Like a chickpea skin floats, right?
I think so.
Because I mean, a chickpea is quite dense. Well, anyway, I'm
usually
imagining
you're skimming the stuff you don't want.
Right? Right. Yeah, you're not. Well, unless you're making fleur de sel.
Of course, yeah, as we are.
Yeah.
How are your salt ponds doing? I was out by the bay earlier and looking crusty and good.
Looking crusty. Are you talking about my nostrils?
Yeah, looking crusty. And
it's cold season, yo.
Yeah, I know.
It's just
I've been sneezing a lot.
Oh, God. Wash my hands. Okay. All right.
Okay.
So how is
Yes? What just happened?
Woo! I'm stroking out here.
Okay. While you're recovering from that, do you smell toast and sesame? If you're listening to this episode and you smell toast and sesame seeds, get to the doctor immediately.
Anyway, what I was going to say is, so you've got your roasted, hulled, ground up sesame.
Yeah.
That is tahini.
That is tahini.
So what do you add to tahini to make the most basic of like tahini sauces that, you know, for instance, you made a salad today.
I made a salad today. That had a little yogurt in it. So that's one step beyond the most basic, I think. But that was when it all came together, like the dressing was sort of like mixed in phases.
So maybe we should get to that later.
Well, but it's very similar to what I would say is the most basic tahini dressing, which is like tahini, lemon juice, salt, garlic.
And that's used very typically as like a dip for all kinds of different things in different Middle Eastern cuisines. And also, of course, like on like a falafel sandwich.
Yeah. And
falafel
pita. I think like a lot of times, like for me, certainly, like when I go for a falafel, like I want a nice crispy falafel, but like without that sauce, it's nothing.
Well, and you really have to get the sauce, like they need to apply it, I think, in two
phases,
layers,
yeah.
Right? Because you don't want to eat the top layer of the pita and then get halfway down and there's no more tahini sauce.
It's like how you make a peanut butter parfait at Dairy Queen.
Okay.
Because it's got layers, different strata of hot fudge, so you never run out.
Oh my god!
Because the worst thing is
great.
when you put hot fudge on the top of a sundae, and then like you eat all the hot fudge, and then there isn't any left.
It's
same thing with the falafel.
I feel stricken just thinking about it.
I know, me too.
So tell me about what it is used for in different parts of the Middle East, in different cuisines.
Okay, so like across a wide swath of the Middle East and the Mediterranean, it's used in hummus, mm-hmm. it's used in baba ganoush, it's made into halva. Oh, that's another episode.
Oh, so wait, God, so, right, so there's halva.
The halva episode, the sesame episode, and the hummus episode. We've done too many episodes.
Do you mean in general?
In general.
Yeah. I mean, we should stop.
Maybe we've covered all this.
This
already.
Is episode 408.
We are out of this. Is tahini was the last thing.
Mm-hmm. It seems like we have reached the
we're
end.
We're done.
The literal and metaphoric end of the show.
I mean, though we come to the end of the road, still I can't let go.
You belong to me,
mm-hmm.
and I belong to you.
That's true. That did. We are now like common law married just from having done 400 podcast episodes together.
Yes.
Yeah. So it turned out we were married all along.
Okay. Great. Okay.
So many lies.
Go on. What about in Israel specifically?
So in Israel, it is a key topping for sabish, which is a pita sandwich basically full of a variety of salads.
Okay.
It's something I've only had once or twice, but it's very tasty and like is a thing that is different anywhere you get it and everybody thinks their version is the best.
Oh, huh. Okay.
But really, you know, it's like some of this salad and some of that salad and,
sounds fantastic.
Yeah. And sometimes I had like an Israeli style falafel that also had like they put on, you know, like some of these marinated onions and then some of this like lettucey salad and some tomatoes and like it was
a cabbagey salad.
Right. It's just like, whoa, like you're not going to stop ever. And then it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
In Turkey, this is something I've not had. I mean, I've had turkey, but in the country of Turkey, it's mixed with pekmez, which is fruit molasses and eaten for breakfast.
Wow. Gosh, that sounds
good.
Wow. Like, it's like it's like peanut butter and jelly.
It is like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
It totally is because there's so much flavor lap between toasted sesame and toasted peanuts.
I think I would lap it up.
I think you would.
I wonder if you eat it with a spoon or do you smear it on something?
I was trying to figure that out. We should try this.
Or like, I wonder how like a drizzle of some sort of like a tahini situation would be on oatmeal.
Yes. I was thinking about that too.
Tahini thing.
Right. I put this down because like, because there's so much flavor lap between sesame and peanut, anywhere you use peanut butter, especially in cooking and baking, you can substitute tahini.
You have a sesame seed stuck to the middle of your top lip.
Did I get it?
You got it.
Okay. So like cookies, there's like tons of recipes out there for tahini cookies, cakes, you can put in a smoothie, oatmeal.
Okay.
What do you use tahini for? Because I'm like, you know, the thing I made today, which I thought was pretty tasty.
Yes.
Like that's one of the only times I've ever used tahini at home.
I know, listeners. As I have mentioned on the show before, I think my parents had these family friends, Pam and Bill Shadid, and Pam had this, her aunt or something had made this like Lebanese community cookbook.
Okay.
And I have a copy of it at home. It's typed on a typewriter.
Does it have a name or is
I think
it
it's
like
called like Lebanese Family Cookbook.
Okay.
It's a little thing, you know, like a little paper pamphlet. Pam, I don't remember eating dinner at the Shadid's house often.
Pam, which is short for pamphlet.
But I remember Pam making two dishes, one being mujadra,
mm-hmm, sure,
and one being this. It was a, I think I talked about this on the chicken and rice episode.
Probably.
Did we do it or was it?
We did do a chicken and rice episode.
It was basically.
Anything you can think of that's even vaguely food related, we've done that episode.
She would do this Lebanese version of chicken cooked in this kind of cinnamony rice with lots of onions. But I remember there was always Lebna at her table. So sort of like drained yogurt, kind of in this delicious. Yeah. She would serve it just plain. You could dollop it on whatever you were eating. And as I recall, she always had tahini sauce for drizzling too. Pam, if I'm getting this wrong, let me know. It's funny. I mean, I think we really only ate at their house twice, and yet I remember those meals so fondly. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so then I think when I first bought tahini, like in my early 20s, living in like one of my first apartments, I think it was to serve along with mujadra or some version of like a lentil and rice and caramelized onion thing.
It's so great. Like this is not going to be like a bit. Like when you can go to someone's house and like enjoy kind of their regular day-to-day food, like if you get invited to someone's house, like from a culture that's different from yours, like often they'll want to like, you know, pull out like some special dishes, which is
like,
great.
And it's like, no, please, just cook me with the normal stuff.
Yes, like having experienced this, like mostly in Japan, like sometimes like getting to go to someone's house and like just have like their regular weeknight meal, like there's nothing that makes you feel more taken care of than that.
I feel like this was my whole experience as a host, you know, as a living with a host family. Host student. And Matthew is missing his mouth when he drinks his water.
Yes, there's that. And also you said host student. It sounds like when you were there, you learned a lot of French and lost a lot of English.
No, but like my host mother would just make, you know, like her usual vinaigrette with like, you know, the grocery store brand mustard.
Oh yeah, you talked about this on the vinaigrette episode, I think.
And I just it just tasted better than anybody else's salad. She would make like, I don't know, she would make like fish and she would cook it in parchment and it wouldn't even be that seasoned or anything.
This reminds me of the time that I did a homestay and I was staying with this woman named Khalise, and she would make these milkshakes. And like every time all these boys would come into the yard because it was better than everyone else's. Better than mine, certainly.
Anyway, I think that part of it is just the act of having someone cook for you.
Yeah, for
period.
Sure.
And I think both you and I are the primary cooks in our homes, and therefore we don't get cooked for a lot.
Right, and we're bored with all the shit that we make.
I am so bored with myself.
Yes, me too.
Oh, God. Anyway, can I talk some more about other things I do with tahini?
That.
So for years now, I've made this recipe that I learned about in one of the cookbooks from Moro.
Sorry, just started laughing at my own stupid milkshake joke again.
So dumb.
Moro the cookbook, yes.
They have multiple cookbooks, but the restaurant.
I think the first one is called Moro the cookbook.
Yeah, this might have been Moro East. Okay. Moro around the corner, or one of those Moro directions.
Moro or less.
Anyway, I've never been to Moro, but they have this recipe. I wrote about it on my blog an eternity ago. You roast cubed butternut squash, chickpeas, red onion with some seasonings, maybe like ground coriander, ground cumin. And then when it comes out of the oven, you drizzle it with a lemony tahini sauce.
Wait, is this the warm butternut squash salad?
Yes.
I think we talked about this on episode 2.
I think you're right.
Because I just got an email from a listener saying I had trouble finding some of your old recipes, which is true because they kind of dropped off the website. Mm-hmm. And he said, but I did find the warm butternut squash salad recipe on another website.
Yes.
And then you mentioned it just now.
Yes.
What an amazing coincidence.
It's a great recipe. And also like super everyday kind of thing, like sheet pan dinner. Mm-hmm. Also recently tried Samin Nosrat's recipe for steamed sweet potatoes with tahini butter.
Oh, that sounds good.
It was in the New York Times. And you mix tahini and butter, maybe some other things, and you spread that over steamed sweet potato, which has a different texture than roasted. I have to say I wasn't totally sold on the steamed sweet potato.
Okay.
And then put toasted sesame seeds on top of it. And
would you try it again, but roasted?
I think I would try it again, but roast it. Mm-hmm. I honestly also think that I don't live in a household of tahini lovers. So I was the only one who was really going to town on this.
I don't know why I don't use tahini much at home because, like, it's very tasty.
It's delicious. So
it's not at all one of these things where I'm like, I could take it or leave it. Like every time I'm like, yeah, I love sesame, anything.
The sweet potatoes were really good because as you can imagine, they were like very sweet. But then you had this like wonderfully bitter and rich, but also kind of buttery thing that you slathered on top.
Right.
And I think you also squeezed lime juice maybe on top. So it was like tangy, rich, a little bitter, earthy. It was like all the things.
Yeah, I think tahini goes really well like with a roasted vegetable or like a grilled meat or anything totally. Where there's like a little bit of like a bitter edge.
Yes. Like
somehow, even though tahini itself also has a bit of a bitter edge, like they complement and smooth each other out somehow.
Mm-hmm. Eggplant.
Yeah, yes. For sure.
Recently, I also had a sweet application of tahini.
Okay, you submitted your sweet application.
Yep. My mom bought me and June tickets to a class at the Pantry here in Seattle. It was June's first ever cooking class. She was so excited. It was the day before her 7th birthday.
Oh.
And it was a breakfast baking with kids class.
Okay.
The instructor, one of the recipes that she taught was kind of a version of a morning glory muffin, which would usually have like grated carrot.
Okay. Yeah, walnuts, I sort of know what this is.
I'm drawing a blank on what else. Anyway, but her version had walnuts, dates, carrot, and tahini in the batter.
Yeah.
And then she made like a powdered sugar, lemon juice, and water frosting that also had tahini in it.
Yeah.
So it was
like a
drizzleable tahini glaze. It was the most sophisticated of all the things that we made that morning. It was delicious. Sadly, June didn't love it.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. It was wonderful. I wish that I could link to the recipe. They haven't published it anywhere.
Okay, yeah. Well, but, maybe we'll goad them into it this episode.
But anyway, that was delicious. It was like, yeah, I mean, the tahini, the dates, the walnut. It was really good.
Yeah, I feel like what I really want and will do sometime soon is just like make like a plate of roasted vegetables with some tahini dressing on the side and just like dip as I go.
Do you ever make falafel?
I have never made falafel from scratch. I've certainly made falafel from the box.
I've never made falafel in any way.
I mean, the falafel from the box is very easy. It's not great.
No.
It's fine.
You could do, a really delicious vegetarian dinner. Like, you could do the warm butternut squash salad, pita.
Oh, you're thinking like an all tahini-based dinner.
Yes. Well, like a smorgasbord.
Yeah.
Wow, to really mix up regional cuisines. You could do a smorgasbord of things that you could drizzle tahini on.
Yeah. What's the
fingers, toes.
Yeah. What?
Just thinking of like things you could drizzle.
Yeah, you can definitely drizzle things on fingers and toes.
Yeah. Sometimes rain drizzles on my toes.
Oh, that's such a like autumnal image, I guess.
Okay.
There's a lot of rain.
Happy October, everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. Matthew, wait a minute. You have some interesting fact here about the Gaza Strip.
Okay. So this is something I have not tried.
Okay.
But it sounded really good. So according to Wikipedia, in the Gaza Strip, a rust-colored variety known as red tahina is served in addition to ordinary tahina. It is achieved by a different and lengthier process of roasting the sesame seeds and has a more intense taste. Mm. Red tahina is used in sumagia, lamb with chard and sumac, and salads native to the Fallahin, which are farmers from the surrounding villages. This sounds great.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah. Lamb with chard and sumac with this red tahini?
Yeah, so like a little like sour tart from the sumac and sounds good.
Hold on. What is the difference between tahina and tahini?
Nothing. It's two different words for the same thing.
Okay. Okay. Wow. I feel inspired to use more tahini. And at the same time, I think we have barely scratched the surface.
I know. Well, now I have a can.
Well, you've got a can.
And I got a can.
What does it have in it, Matthew?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. It has tahini in it.
Okay. So,
or possibly a snake is going to jump out.
Here's what I would love if our listeners would go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com.
We didn't talk about the salad that we ate, did we?
Can I finish? And then we'll talk about the salad. I would love it if our listeners would go to facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast. And if they would tell us their favorite things to do with tahini.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would love to hear more about, like, is there like a special Jordanian use for tahini?
Yeah, that's what that's what I've been wondering too.
Yemeni cuisine.
Yeah,
like these are all things I know nothing about.
Yeah, you can also, if you're not a Facebook kind of person, spilledmilkpodcast.com. You can leave a comment there.
Great. And Matthew, will you tell us about this salad?
Yes.
Take it out. Take,
it was almost
take it away.
We almost missed the chance.
Take it out.
Okay.
Whip it out, Matthew.
Not going to take it out. This is it's from the Healthy-ish column at Bon Appetit. It is radicchio with tahini and sesame seeds. And it's just some big torn leaves of radicchio with red onion, lemon juice, and a tahini dressing made from plain yogurt, tahini, and salt and pepper. And some olive oil goes in there, and you just kind of toss it all together with, and then top it with some toasted sesame seeds.
You know what I think this
toasted
would be?
Toasted ground sesame seeds.
You know what I think this would be really nice with? Like maybe a nice crisp-skinned roast chicken leg.
Sure.
Because I think that some of the like chicken fat would be really delicious. The flavor of that would be really nice with this bitter and sesame-y salad, right?
Yes. Yeah, I would make this again. I like the salad, and it was very easy.
Yeah.
Basically, well, and I got to, like, take a head of radicchio and just kind of, like, tear it apart like a cave person.
Which I think is the best way to handle radicchio. Yeah. I think it tastes better when it's torn.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And I think that I also think that this is just one of those dumb things that people who cook say.
Sure. I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel.
I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. I know you were right,
we're
believing
on
for
Instagram,
so long.
Instagram, at Spilled Milk Podcast. Our producer is
what
Abby Circatella.
What am I without you? It can't be too late.
Nothing's right.
To
we're
say
torn.
That I was wrong.
You're a little late. I'm already torn. Rate and review the show. She's Molly Weisenberg.
He's Matthew Amster Burton.
See you next time.
That's right. That was that old cocktail episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The episode we did on old cocktails, like the old fashioned, the old town road.